It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And today we're going to have the special feature in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review. And today we're going to read about marriage. This is actually the third in a series of sermons that I preached about marriage at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And we're going to be reading about Solomon on marriage and Hosea on marriage. Now, this is how the sermon went. The Song of Solomon may be the most baffling book of the Bible. Reading it is like looking at a tapestry of lovely pastoral scenes. We sense that the scenes tell a story, but the story is lost. Yet in the midst of its obscure beauty, there is wisdom to glean. The song teaches about the maturing of love. This love in the beginning is a love of passion. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, Song of Solomon 1 in verse 2. As the song proceeds, this love matures into friendship. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, Song of Solomon 5:16. It does not stop there. This love grows into an unselfish commitment. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Song of Solomon 8:6-7. It may be a self-centered passion that sparks our first thoughts of love, but in an enduring love, passion subsides and friendship becomes dearer. In a long love, physical and mental decline may rob us of the pleasures we once enjoyed with our friend, but the commitment remains. We set a seal upon each other, and many waters cannot quench our commitment until death do us part. Now let's look at Hosea on marriage. One of the most beautiful pledges of love is found in the prophets. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Perhaps we would hear more of this in wedding ceremonies, were it not for the context. This is the pledge of Hosea for his wife of whoredoms, Hosea 1 in verse 2. And Hosea 2:6-7, Gomer had played the harlot against him. She bore him children who were not his, and then forsake him for her lovers, until they forsook her. Hosea brought her back for the price of a slave. And he spoke comfortably to her, Hosea 2 in verse 14, and sought her heart by promising to be a loving husband, Isha, and not a lording husband, Bela, Hosea 2 and verse 16. Hosea did this in part to demonstrate God's own broken heart and love for his people. As Hosea loved Gomer, so ought husbands to love their wives, and so ought wives to love their husbands. A long marriage is a testimony to the power of patience, loving kindness, and forgiveness. A man may put his wife away for fornication, Matthew 19:9, and a wife her husband, but they're not compelled to do so. It may be that they can reconcile. It may be that they cannot reconcile. When it comes to reconciliation, we must acknowledge, respect, and support the choice of the offended, for that is a choice given to them of God. However, reconciled or not, we are to seek and give forgiveness, for this also is of God. Short of fornication, there are other failures in marriage. Yet the married are to remain married. My father-in-law performed the marriage ceremony between his daughter and me. In the ceremony, he looked at his daughter and he said, "Laurie, Bill is a good man, but he is not perfect." Then he looked at me and said, "Laurie is a good woman, but she is not perfect." And then he said to us both, "I think it would be very difficult to be married to someone who is perfect. We need to think on this. When our spouse is not perfect, we knew they were not perfect when we married them. And we need to remember that we're not perfect either. It is in the areas wherein our spouse is not perfect that we can complete them and cover for them. It is because we are not perfect that we need each other." Paul wrote in Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." A wise woman will not be bitter against her imperfect husband either. And so the sermon went for that day. We went on to discuss marriage on what Peter had said about marriage. And also Malachi had said some things about marriage. If you come by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, you'll get a copy of these bulletins. And in them, there's usually a synopsis of the sermon that's going to be preached that morning. And you can kind of follow along and then take that home. We're interested in teaching the Bible when we come together. In fact, it is our conviction, in accordance with Bible teaching, that the reverence and respect we show to God's Word is part of the reverence and respect that we show to God Himself. And so come worship with us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that, we return to our Sunday school lessons, for we're studying Sunday school lessons written by Elam, E.A. Elam, for the Sunday schools of April the 5th, 1925. And we're beginning a study in the book of Acts. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Now, I want to read the rest of Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 before we get into this study. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, we read that they, when they were come together, asked him, saying, "Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath set within his own authority, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem, Acts 1 and verse 12, from the mount called Olivet, which is nigh unto Jerusalem, and a Sabbath day's journey off. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper chamber where they were abiding, both Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas of James. These all with one accord continued steadfastly in prayer with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in these days Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, and said, and there was a multitude of persons gathered together, about 120. Brethren, it was needful that the scripture should be fulfilled which the Holy Ghost spake before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and received his portion in this ministry. Now this man obtained a field with a reward of his iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, inasmuch that in their language that field was called Al-Kadamah, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be made desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his office let another take. Of the men, therefore, that have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that he was received up from us, of these must one become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they put forward too Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, who knowest the heart of all men, show of these two the one whom thou hast chosen to take the place in his ministry and apostleship from which Judas fell away, that he might go to his own place. And they gave lots for them, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2 and verse 5. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound was heard, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying, behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and sojourners from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we hear them speak in our tongues the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying to one another, what meaneth this? But others, mocking, said, these are filled with new wine. Acts 2 and verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaidens will I in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.